Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
I hate it here.
That's fair.
Broadcasting
live from Texas.
Yeah, this is like the worst week of the Biden presidency so far that we've just endured, right? Like the last 7 days.
Yeah, this is it.
Like this is it. Just to confirm. I jinxed us because on the show last week, I said it's a fucking miracle that like the Taliban hadn't attacked like any like U.S. efforts to get people out of Afghanistan. And then literally the next day is when ISIS was like, hold my whatever ISIS drinks.
Hold my Turkish coffee, man. Yeah.
So and that just kicked off this week of garbage that we've all been suffering through. So
and just not to be too pedantic about this, but it's ISIS K. It's the cool wing of ISIS, like the hip guys. So let's start there and devolve over the next 2 hours. So at the Kabul airport in Afghanistan, Brad spoke it into happening.
Yeah.
Put it out in the universe.
You also jinxed us for the record, by the way, as well. I just want to mention because you went out on
a did I say no idiot talk show host is going to get COVID? No.
You talked about when we were talking about drone strikes last week, you talked about the fact that the US like accidentally, you know, bombing someone was not an accident. Like it wasn't like it's not like the drone missed, like it was just bad intel. And turns out that you spoke that into existence as well. So I'm not shouldering all of the blame by myself.
Damn it. That is fair. That is a completely fair statement. But enough about me, Brad, about you. Kabul's Hamid Karzai International Airport, that's roughly named. Incidentally, as an aside about Hamid Karzai, a lot of people may not know this. Maybe longtime listeners of the show might know this. But the Karzai brothers, Hamid Karzai, but his other brothers actually own a number of restaurants in Baltimore City.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And here's the thing about their restaurants. They're fucking excellent. They're really, really good. They're excellent restaurants. There's one called the Helmand for the Helmand province in Afghanistan, which is, I assume, where their family's from. But it's really funny because anytime I hear it's like the Helmand province and it's like, thousands of American soldiers have been murdered there. I'm like, they have a delicious pumpkin dish. Oh my God. I'm so sorry, guys. No, but like if you go to like their Yelp reviews and stuff like that, it's like full of like crazy anti-Muslim. We hate these guys. They're the worst. It's like, but how's the restaurant? Well, the restaurant's quite good, actually. I mean, I'm a bigot, but I mean, the food is delicious. The Karzai's actually own, I think, two or three restaurants in Baltimore. The airport was targeted by rockets early Monday morning, local time, as the deadline for the U.S. forces to leave Afghanistan neared. By the way, we're done. We made it, everybody.
Yeah, we're out.
We're out. Yeah. We are completely out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, the only people that were left behind are the people that wanted to stay behind.
Yeah, case. I saw a thing that said, like, 26 young students or something like that are still in Afghanistan. I'm like, yo, you didn't make it onto the fucking plane? What are you, out of your minds?
So here's what has driven me nuts about this. So unfortunately, like this attack that ISIS-K perpetrated with suicide bombs killed 13 U.S. service members. It also killed hundreds of Afghans. Like that part is conveniently left out of the narrative when talked about by certain people to the shock of absolutely nobody. But it killed hundreds of Afghans who we were trying to evacuate from the country. So right. I feel, you know, obviously, like it's always as hard to talk about military casualties for me because I look at them in a very like hands off way because it's tragic, yes, but those guys are there to do a job that they know is dangerous and a job that unfortunately has really tragic consequences sometimes. I look at military folks as the same way that that I look at police officers, that I look at firefighters, that I look at people right. who are put in harm's way as a function of their job. Now, I don't agree with like the fucking dick sucking hero worship that we do in this country to those folks.
Correct.
I agree even less with using them as a political cudgel, which Republicans were all too happy to do as soon as this happened, ignoring the thousands of U.S. soldiers who had been killed or wounded in the 20 years prior to these 13.
Of course.
And ignoring other U.S. soldiers that had died for, you know, other reasons. But again, they just held on to this and just started, you know, hitting Democrats over the head with it, which is insane. They the blood wasn't dry before they started doing it. Like as soon as the news came out, all of a sudden, you know, it became Biden's Benghazi, essentially. Like I'm shocked right. there wasn't more Benghazi comparisons considering.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things that is just absolutely hilarious. Like the guy who got us out is somehow more guilty than the people who put us in and the people who kept us there.
Yeah.
Right. Like somehow that makes sense to them. But
well, and to put a finer point on it, carrying the water for these folks was very much of the mainstream media who all of a sudden decided to just go on the offensive against the Biden administration for pulling yep. out of Afghanistan to the and the point was made that, you know, oh, that's another media cash cow that Biden's drying up. And
absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of the foreign correspondents, like, I understand they have personal relationships with people over there and they see firsthand like the pain and suffering. But as we said before, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. There's no optimal way to do this. And I'm not saying that the way it was done is the most optimal way it could have been done. Frankly, no, I don't know. I'm not a fucking military logistician. Like I'm not in charge of this stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, it's fine.
No, like, I'm saying sorry. Stepping over each other. I'd have to imagine that this was pulled off as effectively as it could have been under the circumstances.
So the only position I push back on is I do think that the Biden administration could have done, and maybe it wasn't possible. I don't know. I don't think anyone knows unless you're really in the room with these negotiations with the Taliban and said, look, hey, we're leaving August 31st. Like, no bullshit. We're not fucking around. You make sure that, like, you have a bunch of other bullshit with, like, ISIS popping off. We will get these people out. Let us coordinate these big airlifts and get the fuck out of the country. Right? They didn't.
The Taliban helped us get people out.
No, I know. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, the big airlifts didn't happen. Like, they didn't feel like they were as scheduled, mm-hmm. so to speak. That's not such a great turn of phrase. But, they didn't feel as scheduled until after, like, shit, like, started. And they were like, oh, let's bring in civilian airlines. And, like, I felt like that should have been shored up ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Like, now, they moved heaven and earth and got it done in the timeline, everything else. But it felt like that part of the ship they were building as it was flying, mm-hmm. you know. For lack of a better term. So that part I think could have been handled better. But as far as like once it started, how the hell else are you supposed to get out of this thing cleanly? You can't. Right. The fact that we only lost 13 American soldiers and, you know, hundred or hundreds of Afghans in this mm-hmm. is incredibly like it sucks that those people died. There's no way for me to say it without seemingly to downplay it. But I'm not trying to. The fact that that's all we lost is an amazing feat, by the way. Mm-hmm. Because it could have been – they could have bombed the place when we were doing these huge airlifts. They could have blown up a plane as it was leaving the ground. Like it could have been a fucking nightmare scenario, right? What, you think the Taliban – or excuse me, you don't think ISIS could get ground-to-air missiles? Shoulder ground-to-air missiles? Of course they could. Of course they could. So like the idea that that didn't happen says a lot about – like coordination, some luck, I'm sure, right? Like, so, and, you know, to the military's credit, right? For protecting mm-hmm. these people as they're trying to get them out. I feel like it didn't matter what Biden did. Mm-hmm. It was going to be criticized because it's the end of a thing that we have almost come to just be a part of what America is now.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Right? And in fact, not enough credit's being given to him because he's not.
No.
He's not shying away from the criticism. Like he's standing up in the face of it while still being empathetic, which I think was lacking early on in this, but I think that that's turned a corner quite a bit. And he's acting like a fucking president should. Like,
yeah.
Again, I could not even imagine what this would have been like if the other guy was there. And how this would have gone. Like, I can't even picture, which we should be able to. We had 4 years of it, but I can't.
It would be
so much worse. It would be so much worse.
I'm not sure that we can picture it, to be honest, because the closest thing you can come to is him just turning his back on the Kurds and being like, fuck y'all. Mm-hmm. But like, dude, he wouldn't have negotiated some like easy. I mean, I know people, you know, I know the reports of like him negotiating with the Taliban and stuff like that. I'm very much aware of that. Hey, why don't we bring him back to Camp David? The fuck? I am aware of that, but there is no way he would have been able to help himself to not talk shit about them during it. Like, would have done some like bullshit. Like, America would have kicked your ass and those other guys. He wouldn't have been able to help himself, which would have just spurred on attacks. And they're like, oh, really? We're assholes? Cool. We'll let ISIS come on in and fuck you guys up on your way out. Like, no, dude, there's no way it wouldn't have gone in a completely nightmarish scenario. There's no way. And by the way, because of the way I know how the media is, and I'm sure you are also well aware of this, they would have given that motherfucker as much leeway and credit because Democrats have to play at the adult level. Republicans get to play at the fucking kids table all the time. They are always given the benefit of the doubt, and Democrats are never given the benefit of the doubt in the eyes of the media. This is not how it works. Trump could have gotten 100,000 fucking people killed on those airlifts. And they're like, well, I mean, that's kind of how it was going to go, guys. Like, you know, that's
like what I said, I'm too through with the media at this point. I really did give them the benefit of the doubt in 2016 because Trump was unlike anything we'd ever seen in serious politics before. And they did a better job in 2018. And then they just fell back into the same habits in 2020. And then since he's gone, they've doubled down because now they're like, we need to generate clicks. We need to generate stories. Like we need to, and they're pushing so hard in the other direction. And like you said, like the Democrats have to be the adults in the room and somehow it's an impossible bar to clear. And they're just trying to gin up stories out of everything. Like I've seen like someone, I can't remember what outlet it was, but you know, like breaking Biden doesn't take questions after press conference. I'm like, the other guy took questions like twice ever in 4 years.
Right. The other guy didn't have press conference. Yeah, like Biden's like press briefings. More
press conferences in the last, you know, in his entire term so far than Trump had the entire time. And press briefings, like you said, forget about it.
Dude, they went like six months. They went 6 months or a year, just no press briefings. Like, yeah, you know what it is? Biden is boring. I mean, it is literally the argument that the right wing makes. Oh, Biden's crazy and dumb. Like, he's not crazy and dumb. He just doesn't play your bullshit nonsense, right? It's the same thing they did with Obama. Obama was boring. That's why you have to generate something. Obama is boring because it's like, I got a job to do. That's it. It's not a bunch of flash in the pan nonsense. I got work to do. You may agree with it. You may not agree with it. But I'm not going to get out there and say some wild shit every other day.
Right? But like you said, it's wild because Obama campaigned against, you know, the war effort, and then he got in and couldn't really do anything about it. Like that was one of the great failings of the presidency is he couldn't really, like he definitely lessened the troop presence quite a bit, but he couldn't get us out of it. Biden ran on the fact that I'm going to get us out of Afghanistan, and guess what? He fucking did it. He fucking did it, and he ran essentially using the play that the other guy drew up. You know what I mean? Like it's not like they're the ones that set all this in motion in the first place. And to their credit, I don't think the way they went about it was the smartest thing to do. Like not involving the Afghan government when negotiating with the Taliban seems like a really poor idea. But it's probably the best thing they did in the whole 4 years of their administration is set the wheels in motion to end our involvement in this conflict.
Right. And look, what are you going to do? We're done. We're done now.
Yep.
But you want him to go back? Like, no, right. Fuck that. So, well,
and,
yeah.
And again, I definitely think we should have committees looking at this stuff. Not specifically the, you know, the evacuation. Let's look at the whole fucking thing. We need a 20-year autopsy on this whole fucking involvement. Where did we go wrong in the first place? Spoilers. It might have been when we decided to head on over to Iraq after 2 years. Might have been a bit of a mistake.
Nah, nope, Brad. No. Way before that, when we decided to go to Afghanistan
Going in the first place. But yeah. But like I said, I hope when the autopsy is done on this that we don't just focus on these 2 weeks. That we focus on the whole thing. Because it is absolute bullshit that Biden is taking the bulk of the slings and arrows. And meanwhile, people from the Bush White House are penning op-eds in the Journal. They're going on TV to give sound.
Can you believe it?
Right. For their fucking takes on what Biden's doing. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, if you're not going to sit there and be like, hey, like, don't you bear some responsibility for getting us there in the first place? You're not even going to ask that question. Then I don't want to then don't cover the shit.
Well, and not only that, but the fact that the Journal or the Post will even post those op-eds is ridiculous to me. Like, why the fuck are you asking them? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Hey, what does Dick Cheney think about the invasion of Iraq? What does he think about Afghanistan? I don't care what he thinks. He should be in prison. It's fine. Take out his fake heart and throw it on the ground. He'd probably still live. So yeah, look, this attack in Kabul is not surprising, thanks to Brad's handiwork, but it's also, you know, like, it's the best we could have probably gotten away with, if I'm being honest, and that is unfortunate. And you're right, it's
reality. It's reality. Like it's war. It's literally war. I think people forgot the fact that it's a fucking active conflict that we've been involved in for the last 20 years. And again, I didn't see Republicans crying over the fucking spilt blood of American soldiers as this thing was being dragged down, as this thing was ongoing, and as it just never stopped. But it's when we get to these last 13 performing an evacuation that, you know, apparently wasn't up to their standards. That's a bridge too far. Okay. But please, by all means, try running on this in a year, because in a year, the average American's not going to remember any of this.
Not only that, but like, you're going to run on, I can't believe you got us out of this war that people have been dying to get out of.
Right.
Okay. Like, what is the argument? Like, after it's done, what is the argument? Well, those 13 soldiers got killed, and we need to talk about that. You want to talk about all the other soldiers that got killed? No. Yeah,
Meanwhile, on the same day that 13 American soldiers were killed in Kabul and 187 Afghans were killed in Kabul, over 1,000 Americans died from the coronavirus. But no,
you're bringing up bullshit.
From the right about that.
You're bringing up bullshit. Stop it.
Apparently.
Brad, so that was literally last week. Okay, that was an hour ago.
Yeah, seriously. But that's the thing that also is the most galling about it. It's like, all these 13 American lives. How about these 1,000 that are here that you guys are contributing to?
They should have taken their horse medicine and, you know, get over it. Like, what the fuck, Brad? Like, what do you want from these people? Huh? Like, what do you want from the GOP? Get out of here.
Your fucking ICUs in Texas and Florida are like literally bursting at the seams, and you're gonna fucking wring your hands about 13 soldiers that were killed in a war. Like, come on.
Yes.
Come the fuck on.
Because it is a beautiful 13 part cudgel that they will use. Because they don't give a shit about soldiers.
Dude, I'm fucking tired. Again, if the 4 years of the Trump presidency prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Republican Party is not the party of the military, I don't know what more you want, honestly. I really don't.
No, people really aren't paying attention. I mean, they haven't been the party of the military, I don't know, 30, 40 years? I've been alive for 41.
The military, they're obviously not the pro-police party anymore, because, you know, they fucking hate police officers when they kill their people. But
That's right. The dude was black who killed Ashley Babbitt. That's right. Yo, look, let me tell you something. I was a bit shocked by that. But at the same time, I'm not sure that I could have been happier that of all the people to kill a terrorist, once again, black people have to save white people from their own bullshit. That is the story of America, dude.
I was astounded that dude decided to put himself out there.
No, there's no way, man. There's no way I would have done that.
Never.
Never. What do you do for a living? I sell used cars. Leave me alone. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, kudos on him. Like, the reasons that he gave for doing it were noble, but fuck that.
Look, man, I'm going to tell you right now, when I saw a picture of him, I saw the little video clip of him, you know, coming out, I was like, I could just hear Lift Every Voice and Sing, the Black National Anthem just playing in the background. It's like, yeah, that's right. That's what I look. That's I'm here for it. Look, black people have been saving white people's ass in America for decades, right? We saved your ass. We saved your ass in 2020. We saved your ass in 2018. Yeah, black people. That's us. Us. Black women especially, because they are the ones who fucking vote like they got some goddamn sense. Black men, we're a little shaky. 85% of us know what the fuck is going on. 15% of us are like Kanye West and that fucking cadre of morons. But no, man, black people once again saving democracy that we're not even allowed to fully represent or we're fully participate in, which is incredibly interesting. Like, that to me is like, with a sea of white guys in the Capitol Police, the one black dude was like, yo, she coming through the door? Nah, this is a rap, B. Like, nah, not today. I just saw a woman on Facebook say, oh, you know, to another story of these cops who got finally indicted after like 5 years for killing a young black man. Mm-hmm. Her first comment. Yet no charges against the black man who killed a white woman at the Capitol riots. And people are like, she's a fucking terrorist. Like, it's not because she was white and he was black. That's not the story. We didn't even know he was black until last week.
But they can't square the fact that like again, those people, when you say the word terrorist, an image pops in their head and it's not a white person.
It is to me. even when it's a brown dude, I'm like, that's a white. I like keep it up front, Brad. Because as a black man, I kind of see cops as terrorists. So, oops. So sorry. That's accurate to what America is. Yeah, that dude was that dude's different than me. Never know who I was. Like, no way, man. No fucking way. I would never tell people I did that shit, even though I would definitely want to. I'd brag to my family during Thanksgiving and shit, but like, not to the public.
No, I wouldn't go on fucking ABC News or whatever the fuck. Get the hell out of here.
Look, that is not heat I need, man. And also, no, that's not heat his family needs.
No,
like, it's not. But hopefully they like keep him safe, man. Like, let that black man retire. I'd be like, here is money. Here is – go somewhere else. Just move, dude. Just move. Look, you don't have to live in the United States. Just move. Just move. Go to Canada. Just move. Get out of here. Get your family out of here. Beat it. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because, like, these psychos, they'll kill his family. They'll harass him for the rest of his life. Nah, fuck that. By the way, somebody come to your house, shoot him. Like, look, dude, work the first time. Do it again. It's fine. No, I was happy. I mean,
shit, move to Florida. You can just summary execute people in the street and just say you were standing your ground. That's fine. It's all good.
More on that later, incidentally, because I have a weird thought on this Texas law, and I'm very interested to know your thoughts on it. That's part of my working theory as to how we stop this Texas abortion ban.
More on that soon. Is it walk up to Texans and hit them over the head with a 2x4?
I mean, I wouldn't say a 2x4. Maybe something with a little bit more American, if you will.
I mean, Hacksaw Jim Duggan carried a 2x4. He was pretty American.
He was. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. He was one of the great Americans. one could make an argument. All right, let's talk about this next story, which is really fucking fascinating. January 6th, House subcommittee to ask – or Senate subcommittee, excuse me. Mm-hmm.
No, you were right. It's the House Select Committee.
Oh, yeah. It's the House Select
Committee. For the January 6th.
They are now asking for phone telecom companies for Republican lawmakers' phone records and text records during – on January 6th and probably a couple days before and after is my guess. Yeah, that's not a small thing. Like,
no,
that's a big thing. By the way, how
the turntables have turned.
Yes.
As they say.
Isn't it? What is it? If it isn't the consequences of your actions.
Well, so here's what's funny about that. So a lot of the people, who are being called out as
let me list these people.
Okay.
Yes. Because I think it is incredibly important who these people are. Representative Lauren Boebert, or as Brad would call her, I can fix her. Jim Jordan, that's G-Y-M Jordan.
Yep.
Mo Brooks, Mr. I'm wearing a fucking bulletproof vest. Dude, check that guy's phone records. Holy shit. That guy is super guilty. Madison Cawthorn, a.k.a. Wheels McGillicuddy.
A.k.a. Tad Cadworth.
That is correct. Mr., look at me, terribly punch this tree. Like, dude, you're not a tough guy. I'll flip that fucking chair over on your Mac and me ass. Get out of here. Fuck off. Known pedophile, Matt Gaetz. The Toothless Idiot Wonder, Louis Gohmert, Congressman Neanderthal, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jody Heiss. I don't have a clever nickname for her.
I think it's a guy.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who that is. Scott Perry, Andy Briggs, Paul, my entire family thinks I'm a fucking cunt, Gosar, of Arizona.
Yeah.
That's a good list. That's a murder's row of fucking seditionists. That's what it is.
And Kevin McCarthy and the Band of Morons is really fucking upset about it.
Yeah, they are, boy.
They're threatening telecom companies and social media companies, saying that Republicans, quote, will not forget their actions if they provide this Senate committee with the records. Now, what's funny about this, and I feel like it was Justin Amash who made this point on Twitter. And he said, isn't this funny? Because Kevin McCarthy and these Band of Morons voted in the affirmative for every single fucking FISA bill, for every single fucking security bill that came across that was considered overreach. Isn't it so funny now that now all of a sudden they seem to want to take personal security seriously?
Yeah, you let that cat out of the bag, my guy. Like, yeah, you did. Look, and I also put under this article another article that there's precedent for this, right? Like, besides the FISA courts and things like that, right?
Right.
Which are obvious.
Well, but the precedent is that police do this all the time. Like, subpoenaing phone records is a routine part of most criminal investigations.
Right. Like, at this point. I mean, I think their biggest argument against this is that it's just a select committee. Right. And so that's what they'll try to use as a way of like,
their argument is that it's covered by their like debate, like whatever clause, you know, prevents them from being fucking charged criminally for like, you know, things that they do as Congress people, essentially like things that are part of the regular function of their job. The thing is fucking them is that the Justice Department just issued an opinion that said that a lawsuit against Mo Brooks can forward,
right?
Because standing up at a stage at a fucking insurrection and riling up the crowd does not fall under your typical duties as a United States congressman.
Duties as a sign, dude. Yeah. I'm supposed to do this. Like that's not how that works. Look, it is super interesting who they're going after. I would argue that this is the exact group you should go after.
Of course.
If you are a telecom company, don't bend to these guys. Fuck them. Who cares? Look, if the shit is accurate, they're done. Okay, they're done. They're fucked. They're super fucked, right? Because not only are they done, like, politically done, right? Well, maybe not in the Republican Party. They'd be like, oh, you tried to kill a fucking congressman? That's great, whatever. But you can remove these people from committees. You can destroy their entire power, right? Because, look, Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Louie Gohmert, Paul Gosar, like, they could just remove every bit of their power from Congress. Gone. Mm-hmm. Gone. And Democrats can do that, right? Like, if it's not like, hey, you need to leave out of fucking shame, you piece of shit, like, they may not be able to run them out, but you just basically just handicap them. Handicap them into where Republicans will want them out, because then you can't do anything.
Right.
Right? So yeah, handicap them. Fuck it. Like, I don't give a shit. Also, this is incredibly important to get this information, because what it shows is it's going to give – and look, these guys wouldn't be freaking out if it was nothing. Like, they're not freaking out.
So, but here's what it is. So, like, Jim Jordan's – like an investigative reporter did some looking, and they found out that Jim Jordan called Trump twice during the incident. And basically what the reporting was is that Jordan and Matt Gaetz, funnily enough, were, like, begging Trump to call off the mob, essentially. And they're desperate not to allow this to be known, because by calling Trump and saying, hey, call these people off, you are de facto acknowledging that he's the reason that it set off in the first place, or at least was a contributing factor.
And Kevin McCarthy also. Like,
yes.
That was reported that he also called Trump like a number of times. It was like, stop, fucking please, holy shit, they're coming. Like, so again, you're right. It becomes a de facto standard. It becomes a standard that they knew who it was, right? This is not Democrats saying this. This is your people who are defending you in public, but they know that you got to call the shit off. And what that also says to me is that they also realize that they're not telling him to call it off because, hey, this looks bad politically. They would tell him to call it off because they were legitimately afraid.
Yes.
They were legitimately afraid. Because guess what? People don't know who the fuck Paul Gosar is. People don't know who Jim Jordan is. Like, not really. Jim Jordan is a faceless white dude in Congress. Yeah, those people, if they got in that building, they'd have killed everybody, dude. Except for people who they really knew.
All Jim Jordan would have had to do to go incognito is put on a suit jacket, and then they wouldn't have never recognized him.
Jim Jordan's always wearing he's just rocking a t-shirt, baby. Like, get out of here. Just a wife beater and a piano key necktie. Like, that's it. So, I don't doubt that there's some shady shit in this. Look, there was a clip of Tad Cadworth talking about, like, hey, you know, I don't want to do it, and it'd be the worst thing ever. But you know, rigging an election might, you know, cause us to take up arms against American citizens. I'm like, yo, you're talking a lot of bullshit for a dude in a chair. Like, I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm really not. Yo, you'd be the first person to get straight up murdered. Okay, like, no bullshit. You would.
How dare you insult Tad for trying to stand up for our country? God damn it, Tad.
Yes. He's definitely leading from the front with someone pushing from behind, right off a cliff. I'm an asshole. But like, him saying things like that, like, oh, we might have to just shoot other Americans. God, I don't know. Like, that idea tells me, like, the fact that he would say that at a rally. He would say it in a rally tells me he was saying some wild shit on that phone call to Trump. We're going to kill all Democrats, Mr. Trump. This is awesome. I love it. Like, you know, Heil Hitler or whatever fucking Nazi bullshit he's into. Right. So he probably called him Hair Trump. But like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, there's no way she called. If she called him or texted him, there's no way that it was like, hey, this is not cool. I think we should probably do something else. Or texted someone else and was like, yeah, everything's fine. No big deal. Nah, dude, there's some wild text messages and wild phone calls on those accounts. And they don't want that shit out there. And look, Democrats, if you get it, you fucking dump that shit into the fucking public. Fuck all that. Oh, we're not going to say it. No, no, no.
Well, the whole point of this
have Adam Schiff play the good guy and just have somebody else leak that shit.
Well,
fuck.
No, they would publish it because the whole point of this committee is to create a public record of what is known about what happened that
day. Right. But I know Democrats, and Democrats love to like have, they love to keep their powder dry. And I'm like, sometimes you gotta fucking take.
Yeah, but I think they would try to get them to testify before the committee, and then if they refuse to do it, they'd be like, "Cool, well, you don't want to defend yourself, so here's the shit you said, here's the shit you did, here's your text messages, here's who you called, you know, all that."
Nah, fuck that. I would be like, look, if you don't testify, we're gonna release your phone records. And then when they testify, I leak them anyway. Fuck you. No, fuck them. Fuck them. I'd be like, no, I said I was going to release them. If you didn't testify, you did. I didn't say anything about not doing it once you testified. Fuck you. I mean, or read it while you're in testifying.
Well, I'm tired of fucking around with these people. Like,
yeah,
like,
go hard, man.
Yeah, I've decided that the only way back to normalcy is for Democrats to abuse the system as bad as Republicans have and yep. make them realize like, oh shit, like we better get back to the middle because they're not fucking playing around anymore.
I'm telling you, man, people gotta go to jail. Like one of these guys, or at least get all of them turfed out of Congress. Like they gotta go. Like, look, there's only a couple of things here. They go to jail, which I really like. They get knocked out of Congress, which I love as well. Or at a minimum, they lose all power. No committees, nothing. You just come in, you sit at your desk, and you eat Ritz crackers all day. You don't do shit. You don't do shit. They ask for a vote. You're like, I guess I'll go to the vote. Like, you don't do shit. Get the fuck out of here. You are a useless congressman. I don't think Matt Gaetz, especially Matt Gaetz, Madison Cawthorn, Mo Brooks, Lauren Boebert, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, those motherfuckers should have zero power. Zero power. But I do agree with you. I think Jim Jordan's is all about him being like, no, please don't do this. Don't do this. Well, but those other ones.
He's the one that actually has something to lose. Like he's one of the highest ranking Republicans in the House right now.
Yep.
The other one. So, but the problem is the only hole in your plan is like you can strip them of committees or whatnot. The problem is they will still always have influence and oxygen because Fox News and worse still exist and would not deplatform them.
That's fine. Yeah. No, so. you're right. They should go to jail then. I'll go back to point one.
That'd be
one.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. It probably won't happen, but they should.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, they're upset. I do want to play a little bit of a clip here from Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Guest starring on the White Nationalist Power Hour?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you do what you got to do, right? Like, sometimes you got to go on Tucker Carlson and, you know, fucking zig-haul each other. Führer, mein Führer. Gosh, she is so dumb. All right, hold on. Pause. All right. So I want to... It's only 9 seconds, but this is Marjorie Taylor Greene talking to one dumb Tucker Carlson.
These telecommunications companies, if they go along with this, they will be shut down, and that's a promise.
Good. I hope they're afraid of you. They should be. They should be.
They really shouldn't be.
They really shouldn't be. No. And also, they're going to be shut down? How?
Yeah.
How? You're going to shut down AT&T? I'm sure your constituency would love that. What are you talking about?
Also, you're a sitting congressperson threatening a company if they comply with a legal investigation. That seems highly illegal.
Not only does it seem highly illegal, it also seems like, hey, everyone, I'm real guilty of something.
Yeah. If this were a criminal trial, this would be a nice bit of evidence that you could be charged, obstruction of justice with, perhaps.
Obstruction of justice. What is the it's kind of like conspiracy after the fact.
Witness tampering.
Witness tampering. Then there's it's like I forget, I'm not a lawyer, but it's something like you basically were of mind that this was a crime. Like,
consciousness of guilt is what
you're consciousness of guilt. Right. Yeah. So it's like you're telling us, hey, I don't want you to look at my phone records. Why? Well,
no reason.
I text a lot of pictures of myself to my friends. Like, no, that's not the reason. Like, ugh, there probably are in there, but gross. But, you know, it's like, look, your data, your privacy is not going to be violated. The shit you say about the insurrection is going to get known. They're not going to be like, and then Marjorie Taylor Greene texted her husband and was like, hey, I want to fuck tonight. Like, they're not going to read that shit on the House floor. It'd be kind of gross and funny. But that's not what they're going to talk about. They're going to be like, yo, you texted to your friend, man, I hope they kill AOC tonight. Like, yeah, that's the type of shit they're going to talk about. There's no getting away from that.
I did appreciate Tucker coddling her like a small child. Like, you're right. They should be afraid of you, Marjorie. They should be afraid of you.
Yeah, you lonely idiot from Georgia. They should be afraid of you.
They will shut down the fuck. What a ridiculous thing to say.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Absolutely a thing to say.
It's like, tell me you don't know how government works without telling me you don't know how government works. We'll hit the no telecom button. Boom. Now. That's not how that works.
Unilaterally with our minority in Congress. We will shut down the phone companies by ourselves.
We can't shut them down,
but like Democrats, she's so stupid. Like, Democrats could trick her. They're like, man, you know what, Marjorie? You're right. Like this cannot stand. We must regulate these phone companies. And she's like, yeah, we got to regulate them. And then somehow we like Buffalo Republicans into passing massive regulation in the comms industry, which we're just like, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, idiots.
What we need, Marjorie, on the news is fairness. That's what we need. Some sort of doctrine of fairness. We need that. Okay, sign. Yes, you dumb. I've always thought, I've long thought that everyone in Congress should have to be in an isolation booth when laws are presented so that they can't see, and like it just reads the bill to you. Like in a computer voice, it doesn't tell you who brought it up. It doesn't tell you anything. It just reads a computer, Siri reads the bill to you, and you have to say yay or nay. I think it would be super interesting to see how people voted then. Like, yeah, no, I support that. Oh shit, Democrats came up with this? Oh no. Yeah, because like people, like Democrats don't put up insane laws, right? Like it'd be like, okay, that's completely reasonable. You would know a Republican bill when you heard it. You can do abortion bounties? Yeah, I'm not for that. Like it wouldn't be hard to tell.
Here's what I'd like to see. I'd love to see, before you're allowed to run for Congress, you have to pass the same citizenship test that they give like immigrants that are
applying for citizenship. No, Marjorie Taylor Greene is not going to be in Congress.
We would lose half the Republican caucus if we did that.
You think it's that low? Oh, that's interesting, Brad. you're being incredibly nice.
I mean, look, there's a lot of lawyers in there. There's a lot of people who are actually like smart people that just are disingenuous.
Rudy Giuliani's a lawyer, Brad.
That's true. Why couldn't, man, we should have been lawyers.
Why don't you become a lawyer? You can do anything.
Like the fact that Giuliani was a lawyer and got to very high reaches in like the Justice Department makes me wonder, like, what if I just took the LSATs without even going to law school? Like, could I pass them and then could I get hired? Like, they're like, what law school do you go to? Like, I didn't. I just took the LSATs. I'm a smart guy. I've watched literally every episode of Law and Order multiple times. I am at least as qualified as Rudy Giuliani to be an attorney. And they'll be like, you know what? That's fair.
I mean, it's not, you know, I'd like to see you do it, Brad. I support you. Wow. What? I wanted to see if Louis Gohmert was perhaps like an old Southern chicken lawyer, right? Like, I'm just an old Southern lawyer. No, he's not. Louis Gohmert has a bachelor's in history.
What history? Jim Crow?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how? How does he have a bachelor's in history? U.S. Army scholarship and earning a bachelor's in history, 1975. Yeah, it's probably in Jim Crow. You're right.
What history? What history? Are you an expert in, Louis Gohmert? Oh, Reconstruction. Like, that's the only thing I know. Cool.
First off, I don't need this tooth. And let me tell you something. Wow, that's amazing. He has it. The fact that he even has a degree is amazing.
Was it like a real school?
No, it was. He got his degree at Texas A&M. Hmm.
Well, yeah. I think a lot less of Texas A&M now, I got to tell you.
And no, whoa. Hold on. You know what? You know what? You are right. You should take the LSAT. I'm sorry. Gohmert received his doctorate degree at Baylor Law School, 1977.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, that's true. So, oh my God. I got to stop reading his entire Wikipedia. Gohmert attended the JAG School at the University of Virginia. And he entered the U.S. Army JAG Corps.
Oh yeah, actually, like
what?
Little known fact, like he was actually like Tom Cruise in the real life version of A Few Good Men.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't you dare.
His dad was Lionel Caffey. His dad was
Lionel Caffey. Oh, he served in the JAG Corps at Fort Benning, Georgia, from 1978 to 1982. Most of his legal service in the Army was as a defense attorney. How? Wow.
Maybe he experimented with a lot of drugs when he got out of the Army, and it turned his brain to mush. Who knows?
Who knows? Wow. That is amazing. That is amazing, dude. Wow, he was on the Texas 12th Court of Appeals? He was a fucking judge?
Yeah, apparently.
Law school is bullshit. Don't pay for that. Just take the LSATs. Like, no, yo, don't. No. You know what? Brad and I are gonna. No, we're getting our JDs. Fuck that, man. Let's do it. We'll just go in for the final exam. I think we could do it. Like that guy got it. Come on, man. Come on. Stop it. Of course, he was appointed there by Rick Perry. Fucking the dumb George W. Bush.
Naturally.
Jesus.
That makes a lot more sense.
Oh, of course it does. Of course.
So now I want to believe that Gohmert wasn't doing like legal work in Texas beforehand. Like he was probably just like sitting on his front porch and Rick Perry drove by in a pickup truck. Was like, "You want to be a judge?" Like, "Sure. Let me get my tooth. We're going to head right down to the courthouse." Woo.
Oh. Here's how Louis Gohmert ended up on the court. Quick story. Here you go. Wikipedia. He first saw national recognition in 1996. For a 1996 probation requirement where he ordered an HIV-positive man who was convicted of motor vehicle theft charges to seek the written consent of all future sexual partners on a court-provided form notifying them of his HIV status. The order angered LGBT activists and civil libertarians. And then just a few years later, Rick Perry's like, hey, remember that dumb bigot in Texas? He's my guy. That's why. So, yeah. His bigotry, not his actual intelligence or anything else.
Because he made waves by being a homophobe, basically.
Yeah, so. No, that makes sense. Cool. Now I want to punch Louis Gohmert in the face even more than normal. Great.
Speaking of Texas.
Brad, now I'm mad that I did not queue up I Know Texas. Because that feels really like a fucking opportunity. It's a banner day for the big state of Texas. So Texas decided that it was going to pass a law that would ban abortion after 6 weeks.
Well, not necessarily ban. Well, I guess it did kind of ban abortion, but there's a lot more to it than
just that. Yeah, we're going to get into it. That's just the top line, right?
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, they ban abortion every 6 weeks. Yeah, well, they're in the South Southwest.
To be more precise, it bans abortion as soon as a fetal heartbeat is detected, which usually happens around 6 weeks, give or take.
Right. And just so people are aware, most women don't know they're pregnant at least until like week three or sometimes four.
If not later.
Yeah. Sometimes after week six, turns out.
Yeah.
Turns out. So that's the top line shittiness. But because it's Texas, everything is bigger and apparently dumber there when it comes to policy. So it gets much worse. The state's new anti-abortion law also has an interesting little twist to it, which is that according to the law, private citizens can sue the physician who performed an abortion after the 6th week, as well as anyone who helped facilitate it, from counselors to anyone providing financial support to the procedure to someone who simply drove the woman to the clinic with the knowledge that she was getting an abortion. The complainant can receive up to $10,000 in damages, damage compensation if the accused is found guilty, on top of any legal fees, even if you don't have any connection with the woman who received the abortion. Depending on the verdict, the court could enforce the collection of the debt, which could include seizing property if the person found guilty doesn't have sufficient available funds to pay. Any person in the entire United States can do this to people in Texas, to women in Texas, I should say. I shouldn't say people, because this is specifically women. They have made a bounty system to go after women who get abortions in Texas. This might possibly be the most draconian shit I have ever fucking heard in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. And so the reason why the story kicked up today, because this law was signed a little bit ago, it just went into effect today, is that the ACLU asked the Supreme Court for emergency ruling to block the law.
Yeah.
And rather than grant that ruling to hear arguments.
An injunction, by the way.
An injunction, my apologies. To hear arguments as to why the law might just be unconstitutional, they decided to do nothing at all.
Yep.
And just let the deadline lapse. To this point, we still have not gotten a written decision as is required from SCOTUS to explain why they decided not to grant the emergency ruling, which is the most gutless thing that I think I've ever seen in my entire life, because we're not, like, it's not surprising that this Supreme Court would try to do everything they can to knock down abortion, because it's been a plank of every Republican justice that's been appointed to the court over the last like 20 years, basically. But to not even have the decency to come out there and say it with your chest and to do this shit, to let the shit just, you know, whimper in the dead of night, it's gutless. It's gutless. And for a guy that has talked about, not overtly, but like it's understood that John Roberts is very protective of the legacy that he's going to leave behind on the court. Bro, I hate to break it to you, this is going to be what's hung around your court if it's allowed to stand and if it expands.
Yeah. It's a very famous quote. Turns out it was not said by Edmund Burke. Everyone thinks said it. And it's a powerful one. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Right? These aren't even good men. Right? Like the majority of the Supreme Court are not good men. But like, I can't, like, there, I have so many feelings on this, and I will get to all of them. But the thing that jumps out the most to me is, what the fuck kind of bullshit law are you trying to write that allows other people out of your state to go after people in your state? This is from a state that's whole thing is all about, like, don't mess with Texas. Texas is fucking badass. Fuck your mom, whatever. Nonsense, right? This faux tough guy bullshit. But now you're inviting the entire country to invade the privacy of your citizens. It's literally, they should have just called it the Karen law. People minding other people's fucking personal business.
Yeah.
And it's pathetic. Like, it's a pathetic fucking law. It makes no sense. And by the way, this is another thing I like. that really pisses me off about the right, because they're too chicken shit to do it. And I know why they're too chicken shit to do it. When it comes to abortion, they never want to say this is a criminal action. We will put women in jail. They never do that. You know why? Well,
they can't.
No. I know that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is they never push even in rhetoric about that, because they know that that would be a thing where a lot of people would be like, look, man, I don't agree with abortion, but like, you don't put people in jail for the shit. Like, cause there are plenty of people who go, hey man, I don't think people should have abortions, but like, that's on them. Right. Like mm-hmm. we often couch like pro-life and pro-choice in the, like the most extreme mm-hmm. perspectives, right? The right goes pro-choice, you know, liberals and Democrats want to abort all babies, which doesn't actually make sense. Like, you do know liberals have children. Like, that doesn't fucking compute or track with any logic, but that's the type of shit they say. Meanwhile, we tend to, from the left, think that pro-life people are all psychos on the right who are like, you need to have all those kids and oh, what about, like, that's not everybody who's pro-life. A lot of people who are pro-life are just like, hey man, that's for me, right? Like, that's how I live my life, right?
Man,
not
enough of them.
Not enough of them, right? Or at least not enough of them who are vocal, right?
Right.
Like, I don't necessarily think it's the majority of pro-lifers by any means. I'm not that naive. But I would bet 20-30% of pro-lifers are probably like Tim Kaine, who are just like, yeah, just that's, or Joe Biden, who are like, yeah, look, my religion says that we shouldn't do this. I don't think people should do it. Now, whether you decide to be pro-choice for the rest of society is a different conversation. But I think a lot of people are just like, that's my personal choice. Like, you want to do.
But the dichotomy, though, that this has created in Texas specifically is painful to me, because this is a law framed under the guise of quote unquote defending the defenseless, you know, unborn children kind of thing. But clearly, as soon as they come out, you don't give a fuck, because now you're trying to pass, you know, the ability to not allow people in your state to make mask mandates to protect people from a fucking pandemic that's going on.
How about this? How about this, Brad? They're making a law so that if a woman who has kids, has a family, gets pregnant, it's like, oh shit, I can't take care of this kid or whatever, gets an abortion, you've made a law so that she can be sued into the poorhouse, losing her house, losing, you know, financial stability. They're talking about seizing property. You just take somebody's car and all this other shit. What if they have a family? What if they have kids? You don't give a fuck, right? You don't care, right? Because in their minds, all they think is, oh, a woman having an abortion, that's some hot, sexy single woman, some fucking slut out there just banging away. And then, like, she goes back to her Sex and the City lifestyle. That's not everybody who has an abortion, dude. Some people having an abortion.
I don't think they're thinking that.
They might not be white.
Yeah, but that's more the direction that I think that their mind kind of goes to.
They don't give a fuck if they ruin some like Latin woman's fucking life with her kids. They don't give a fuck. They could give a shit, right? You're not supposed to be having sex for pleasure anyway. It's not in the Bible.
But the other issue is that you are abortions are still going to happen. Like, if women don't want to be pregnant, they are going to find a way to not be pregnant. But all you've done now is you've taken it to the point where now they're going to try to abort the fetus through medicine, not under a physician's guidance, which that's, you know, going to go fucking go great. They're going to try to, you know, scramble out to other states as much as possible. And of course, a lot of the states around Texas, it's not the easiest thing to do to go out and get abortions, because it's the same fucking type of idiots that are running those states as well. And you're going to force the most vulnerable people, you know, from a psychological standpoint, from a mental standpoint, into more desperate situations. Because imagine if you don't even know you're pregnant until like week 10, and you're not in a position where you can have this, where you feel that you should have this child. And sure, there are other options out there if you really want to.
Sure.
But it's not up to the government to tell you which of those options is the correct one, because it is your body ultimately at the end of the day. So.
It's not lost on me that we have people co-opting the my body, my choice right now when it comes to wearing a mask or when it comes to getting vaccines. And these are the same fucking people who will go out there and yell, my body, my choice, that type of shit. But you will go after somebody making a choice that does not affect you. It does not do anything to you.
Whereas, ironically, the people that are saying it about the vaccines,
it absolutely
are affecting everyone else around.
Right. They don't understand. Yeah, they're not bright. Like, these people are fucking dim-witted. Right. But look, let me get my ire up a little bit. I feel like I'm being way too reserved.
You saved it right for the hour, Mark. So congratulations.
I was waiting. SCOTUS matters. Politics fucking matter.
Here we go.
Yeah. Like, I mean, come on. Who didn't think this was coming?
Let me tee you up real quick.
Go for it.
So
you got some really devastating tweets you might want to delete. Oops.
Not me. I'm not trying to grift fucking progressives out of their money.
30 grand a month.
Hey. There's six Republican justices on the Supreme Court right now. Five of them were appointed by a Republican president who at that time had not won the popular vote. I'm not counting, what was it, Alito that was appointed in Bush's second term.
Right.
But the other five that are there were appointed by a Republican president who lost the popular vote. In one case, by quite a bit, and he got three.
Yeah. When I hear people still to this day say that there was no difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it is mind-numbing to me. I cannot understand for the life of me how you can still say that. How you can still say it. Every bit of major legislation that you want to get passed is going to hit a fucking brick wall of these people. Breonna Greyjoy or Breonna Joy Gray, whatever the fuck her dumb fuck name is.
It doesn't matter.
Miss fucking Bad Faith podcast, her and that fucking creep that she's on there with. She literally deleted a tweet that said, hey, NPR politics, you're wrong. Oh, yeah, the people at NPR, they're fucking idiots, right? But you got it.
Those conservative icons at NPR.
At NPR politics, right. The SCOTUS doesn't matter as much, in this election 2016. Yeah, she deleted that shit today.
Oh, yeah. Today.
Today.
Specifically. Like the shit was up for 4+ years. Saying it proud, leaving it on the timeline. Then all of a sudden, this happens and, oop, it's gone. Yeah,
because somebody would do that shit right in their face. They were like, this you? Huh? Oh, shit. Delete, delete, delete. But this is the fucking problem. This is my issue with the far left. And not even the far left. I'm not even going to call it the far left. The extreme left. This is the extreme left. The far left is like AOC, who I'm fine with. Like, don't always agree, but I'm fine with. She's trying to get shit done. This is the extreme left. They are fucking useless. They are fucking useless. Because all they want to do is bitch and complain about things that are clearly, they're so clearly wrong about. They're so fucking clearly wrong about. When you sit there and tell people that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the same, there's no fucking daylight between the two of them. It's like you don't even know what the Supreme Court is. You think Hillary Clinton would have put on fucking three lunatics? A drunkard who couldn't keep tabs on where he was, so he had to write it down on a fucking calendar every day. He forgot, oh, I don't know, maybe I sexually assaulted this woman. Man, I don't know. I like beer. You like beer? That would have been one of Hillary's fucking choices? No, it wouldn't have been. Get the fuck out of here. She would have put on that psycho woman from a fucking cult? No, she wouldn't have. Get out of here. So, like, this idea that there was no daylight is ridiculous. But this is the shit that they pushed. Because they didn't get Saint Bernie in there, because one, this guy, I had an argument with this guy on fucking Twitter today. He's like, well, his exit polling was pretty good. He got his ass fucking trounced by Hillary, and Joe Biden beat him even worse. What the fuck are you talking about? You live in a goddamn fantasy world that doesn't make any sense. Look,
I missed that memo when primaries were decided by exit polling and not, votes.
Yeah, he was like, well, it was like, well, if you think it was fair what happened to Bernie, then you're not a serious person. I was like, if you think it was a standard election in 2016, what happened to Hillary was fucking fair, get out of here. The Comey letter, the Russian hack, those things don't exist. They don't exist. You think they had nothing to do with anything? Get the fuck out of here. So anyway, but my bigger issue here is, like, our friend Matthias made a point that I 100% agree with him. There is actually no difference at this point between the extreme left and the extreme right as far as, like, their uselessness in politics. There's not. Democrats and Republicans, like, you know, not just moderates, but, you know, like, the reasonable human beings. Okay. That doesn't mean just people who are slightly to the right and slightly to the left. I mean, it goes all the way as far out to, like, where AOC and the squad are, right? Those people actually are trying to move the ball and do things to help people, right? You may agree with them. You may not agree with them. There are people on the right who are probably just as far to the right, and you may not agree with them. I definitely don't, but they're trying to move the ball. Then there are people on the farthest ends. Those people are useless. The extreme left in this case are useless. They couldn't see the forest for the trees because they were bitching and complaining about Bernie not getting in, that they basically hamstrung Hillary going into the general, right? They're like, oh, well, they supported her in higher numbers than Obama got from Clinton voters. Yeah. And Obama wasn't running a razor thin race, dumbass. Like, you can't just take context out of shit and just say it. It's fucking stupid, right? Like, the SCOTUS is the brick wall of progress if it's set up in the wrong way, right? Republicans have been fighting for 40, 50, 60 years to knock down as many liberals off that court and build up a brick wall against the impending doom of liberalism and sort of modernity. They've been trying it, and they succeeded thanks to you dickbags, because you spent your entire time, instead of working to move forward, all you wanted to do was stand in place and say, it's not fair. That's all you wanted to do. That's all you wanted to do. So this is on your hands. When minorities were dying of COVID and being treated even worse by cops and all this other shit, that was on you. That was on you for fucking 4 years. That was on you, because you had an opportunity to stand and stop it and go, hey man, it ain't the person I wanted, but we got an existential threat. Look, I wanted Elizabeth Warren in 2020. It doesn't mean if Joe Biden wins the nomination, I'm just like, fuck it, bro. No difference between Trump and Biden. Of course there is. Of course there is. So the fact of the matter is, because they took their ball and went home, whether it was literally in voting or it was, I'll vote. Like, there is a difference. Like, just going and voting and going through the motions is not the same as being like, let's get in the fight and fucking get people hyped. Because when you are going through the motions, you affect other people. And those mm-hmm. people who are on the fence go, you're right. They're both the same. Fuck it. I'm not going to vote. So even if you did vote, you took away another vote, or more than one, right? When Breonna Joy Gray goes on Twitter and says a bunch of dumb shit and convinces a bunch of people to go the other way or vote for Jill Stein or some shit like that, or what's her face that just got her ass kicked in Ohio, when they go out and say it's like eating a bowl of shit and stuff like that, you affect people. People who are on the fence of voting, you affect them.
It's one thing to do it. It's another thing to do it kicking and screaming. And like you said, like, the people that no politics, they're going to do it kicking and screaming, and that is going to count your vote. But yes, like, it's going to influence other people. You know, right. How I say
that's the
that,
power you have.
You know how I say that, like, libertarians are like the 13-year-old. It's like a 13-year-old's view of politics.
Exactly.
I feel like that the extreme left progressives are like 16-year-olds. Like, you have a little bit of knowledge.
Yep,
and you kind of know, like you gotten some life experience on your belt, and you think you know everything. But think back to when you were 16.
Yeah, no shit.
And think back at the person that you were when you were 16 years old and realize you didn't know fucking anything.
No.
But yet you have the confidence of someone that knows.
That's right.
That thinks they know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, libertarians are like, we don't need seatbelts. The extreme left's like, we need seatbelts, but I get to drive 90 miles an hour. Right? Like, that's also pretty bad. I think that's absolutely correct. But you can't walk around not taking some of the blame for this. You have, look, not only have you thrown minorities under the bus, you played with fucking fire with women's rights. And when people talked about that, you dismissed it as it not being a big deal. Roe is going to be fine. Don't worry about it, whatever. Nah, man. No, man. This is Texas is fucking Gilead from fucking The Handmaid's Tale at this point. Right?
Well, by, here's the like, other problem, it is. Too, is that the argument that they will put up to try to absolve themselves of responsibility is, well, you know, SCOTUS as an institution is kind of fucked up. And while that's not
irrelevant,
it's irrelevant because this is the hand that we were dealt. Like, if you can't get Hillary Clinton elected president, you certainly aren't abolishing the Supreme Court of the United States or packing or expanding it. People are like, Democrats are the only people that'll bitch about, you know, other Democrats not, you know, giving them the power when they occupy all four seats of government or all three seats of government. And they're right. But again, in order for us to do the things that you would like us to do, we need to knock down the filibuster. And that's not in the cards right this second. 2016, we weren't even talking about the filibuster. The legislative filibuster is a new phenomenon. Like the fact that we're even talking about that is a new thing. Nobody was talking about that shit in 2016.
Nope.
Nobody was talking about that kind of stuff. That wasn't even in the cards.
You had,
it wasn't even an option.
Like, you had in 2016, they weren't talking about it. It took
4 years of Trump to get to the point where we're like, hey, this filibuster's kind of fucked up, isn't it?
Right. And in 2020, you had the former president, Barack Obama, being like, yo, the filibuster is a, what do you say, a Jim Crow, like, legislative weapon, right? Like, and it is, right? So, look, don't pretend that you give a fuck about women's rights. Don't pretend that you give a fuck about minority rights. Don't pretend that you give a fuck about Native Americans' rights or, you know, like, you don't care about any of that shit. What you care about is bitching and complaining about not getting your way. You can't tell me that the Supreme Court doesn't matter when the Supreme Court matters whether or not healthcare is allowed, right? You can't get Obamacare through. You can't. Do people remember that there were a couple of cases? I don't know, just a few of them to try to knock down Obamacare. Not even counting all of the bullshit ones. I'm talking about the ones when it initially passed and they tried to, they basically threw it to the Supreme Court like, oh, can we do this? Can we do this? And it was a slim chance that the Supreme Court would have been like, no, you can't have Obamacare, unravel the entire thing and destroy it before it even got started. I remember being on a bus overseas waiting for that result. And it came through and they were like, no, Supreme Court upheld it. I was like, fuck yes, I can have the rest of my vacation and not be a miserable asshole about it. Okay? That fucking matters. That block, that stone wall against progress is now in effect for generations. Thanks to you dickbags. Because you didn't think it was that fucking important. Yeah. But you know what was really important? Force the vote! Force the vote! That was important. This isn't important.
Meanwhile, we're yelling at Stephen Breyer to
get the fuck off the court
to maintain a 6-3 deficit.
Jesus.
Just to maintain a 6-3 deficit. Like we're just like, Stephen Breyer, go away so we can make sure that it's not 7-2 in 4 years.
Just fucking retire. And people say, oh, you know, people saying that, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg should retire. Oh, I bet they feel stupid now. I said Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have retired during the Obama administration. I don't feel inaccurate in saying that at all. Yeah, now, what Republicans were going to do, that's a different question.
Yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg revealed her cancer diagnosis during Obama's first term. His first term in office.
She should have retired then.
And she hung around for 10 years. And I like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but in retrospect, probably wasn't the best idea.
No, it was not.
In all honesty.
But, and you know why she did? Because she thought Hillary would get there. That's the reality. Like, dude, I'm sure she thought, Hillary Clinton's a fucking juggernaut. I'm good. If I kick off, I'll make it. Hillary got it. It's cool. It's not a big deal. It's not how it worked out.
And then she had to fucking suffer and die on the bench because she was just waiting for hopefully not Trump to win
and didn't make it
the next time around. Yes.
And look, that's sad, man. I miss Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was a fucking juggernaut. She was an amazing person in human history. She really is. She should have fucking retired then. She should have. Not mad at her, but I'm kind of mad. Like, I'm kind of mad at her about it. Like, that's her mistake. That is. And look, we, you know, you fucking hindsight's 2020. Like, what can you do? But what I can say is her not retiring is one thing. You as a voter thinking that none of this is – there's no difference is just – look, man, I'm telling you, I'm no longer – I'm at the point now. You tell me some bullshit of like, oh, they're both the same. Fuck you. Fuck you. Block. Done, dude. I'm done. I'm not having conversations with people anymore.
Well, here's ridiculous. Here's what I hope, though, is I hope that – and it won't be because, you know, ignorance is bliss. But I really hope that this is a wake-up call. Not just to progressive, not just to like the extreme left that they need to fucking eat their vegetables sometimes and suck it up when they don't get the perfect candidate, but also to adjust their expectations as far as what is achievable in a short amount of time.
They don't understand how government works.
No,
they don't.
And I get that it's boring and it's samey to talk about incremental progress. I fucking understand that. It's not ideal. You know, it's not the sexiest thing to fucking talk about, but it's what's going to happen because the way that the Supreme Court is structured as an institution is to not generally let extreme whiplashes happen in policy.
Except when you have maybe a 7-2 majority.
Yes.
And a party in complete control that is supporting, like, if God forbid, and I don't think it, I shouldn't even say I don't think it happened. I don't even know. God forbid a Republican gets in 2024 and the Republicans take back the House.
Again, it's not implausible. The margin that Biden won by, despite winning by over 7 million votes, was not that big.
No. Right, because the system is so fucking set up in such a bullshit way. But if a Republican gets in 2024, if it's Ron DeSantis of all fucking people, we are
fucked. Or Trump again.
Or Trump. We are so fucked. By the way, the two of them running against each other in a primary is the best thing that could possibly happen because they will destroy each other. Like they will try. Like Trump would probably end up winning out of that, but I think
I don't think DeSantis would even run if Trump was actually running.
You think?
No, I don't. I really don't.
I can see him being like, "You got to pick me though. Like I got to be.
He wouldn't want to upset his God King. So
that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But either way. There's a very good possibility that in 2024 there could be a Republican, right? That's not that it's definitely going to happen, but it could happen. But, you know, if enough people keep dying, maybe not. I don't know. Like, we'll talk about it because that's kind of an interesting stat that Brad and I saw before the show. If that happens and the Republicans take the House and the Senate back, right, between 2022 and 2024.
Which would probably be a lock, by the way, if a Republican president were to win the election. I would imagine that it would probably
flip again
that way. Yeah.
With a 6-3 at that point, maybe even a 7-2 Supreme Court, it's a wrap. And imagine if it's not Trump and it's another Republican who is a Trump guy, but is smarter, craftier, like a Hawley or one of those fucking guys.
Isn't lazy. Yes, the key.
We are in a world of trouble. Then you're going to what? You're going to pretend like they're all the same again as they're passing more draconian laws, as they head themselves right back into fucking Afghanistan or some other shit? What are we going to pretend then? You stick your head in the sand and just pretend everything. I'm sad, so everything is the same. I don't, like, it doesn't matter. Pull your heads out of your collective asses. It's ridiculous. So what we have to do is you have to fight and beat back this bullshit of everyone is the same nonsense. When you see it, call that shit out. Call it out. Don't be nice. Fuck being nice. Time being nice is over. That is over. We're done with that. It's time to fight, right? Like people say some shit. Oh, you know, I think Joe Biden and Donald Trump are the same. I'm, you know, I got a fucking roses in my Twitter bio. You're a fucking idiot. Here's why. Boom, 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 boom. Let him block you. Fuck it. Fight with him. Right. That's what you do. Right. You call this shit out. You see Breonna Joy Gray tweet some shit, quote tweet her and be like, this is why she's an idiot. Cause she's not going to respond to you. Like, that's what I do. You know, and then just fucking level it out. Right. Like, that's how you fight the shit. You fight disinformation and inaccuracy with accuracy, with actual information. Right. Like this idea that you could get Medicare for all in, if we got all the votes, if we forced the vote, we could get in. You wouldn't get shit in because they would bring it up to the Supreme Court and those psychopaths would be like, no. Oh, does it meet the law? No, it doesn't meet the law. Who gives a fuck? Who cares? Who cares what the law says? They'll come up with a way to disenfranchise. They'll come up with a way to destroy.
Yeah, unless it is the most perfectly crafted piece of legislation that's ever been formed in human history. They will find a loophole that doesn't have to collapse, that doesn't have to knock down the whole law, but take away a critical pillar of it that would force it to collapse in on itself.
Yeah, like how
because
you pay that, for
because
it.
That's what they right because that's what they do.
Yeah,
because they like I said, it's not enough to find it's hard to topple the whole law. It's very easy to take out a pillar. It's why we don't have an individual mandate right now.
Right. Right. I'm so fucking irritated, dude. Like, I'm so irritated because I don't like the fact that they fucking played fast and loose with women's fucking health rights. Like,
that's not the only thing that they played fast and loose with. Because it turns out that even though you can't predict that a pandemic's going to happen, you can be sure that some disaster is going to happen. And again, yep. You want someone smart guiding the way. So, Biden signed a
extended. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry.
Before we get there.
There's a thing you mentioned, and I want to go back to real fast about the abortion law. Mm-hmm. If people are allowed all over the country to do this like bounty hunter type of shit on people mm-hmm. who are having abortions, I assume Texas has a stand your ground sort of situation. Mm-hmm. Can those people in Texas who've had the abortion, can they go to those other people and just shoot them? Like, because I feel like that should be allowed.
I saw something that was more interesting. I want like if this manages to withstand scrutiny.
I don't see how, but
it will. What if New York decided to pass a similar law with guns?
Meaning what exactly?
Well, they institute like a assault, some kind of restrictive like gun ban, some hard ass gun laws, and then say, oh no, by the way, if you see someone violating this law, you can sue them.
Brad, that's genius. That is fucking genius. That is fucking genius. Yes. Yes. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
No. How about this? Look. There are good ideas, Brad. Allow me to make it great. You're not allowed to bring an assault rifle into public. If you are seen with that, you are allowed to be sued. And so if that happens, if you can prove that someone walked in public anywhere in the country, you're allowed to do that. Guess what? Ain't no walking into Starbucks with your AR-15, Bubba. Guess what? New Yorkers are watching your Twitter account. Good. Good. Do it. And then when the Supreme Court goes, hey, that's really not cool and unacceptable, you'd be like, you know what? You're right. Yeah. This is how you break it, right? You start passing crazy draconian laws in blue states that are the same fucking bullshit idea, and you make them knock it down. Make them knock it down. And then when they knock it down, you knock the legs, right? Don't have the top of the whole law. Like you said, you knock the legs out of the fucking chair. That's the fucking point. That's actually a very good idea. I like that idea a lot. Somebody way smarter than us should already be working on this.
Till we get our JDs, then we can do it ourselves.
By next week. I'm just going to Google, can I take the LSAT without going to law school?
So, but again, to the point that we've made about SCOTUS this whole time. So the Biden administration extended the eviction moratorium, thanks to people like Cori Bush and other folks that were raising attention to this. Why they waited till the last minute to do it is beyond me, but whatever. They extended the eviction moratorium for folks so that they could not, you know, people could be kicked out of their house. And then who knocks that down? Why, it's SCOTUS.
And yet, liberals are talking about how Joe Biden fucked up on the moratorium.
Yes.
Because they don't understand. By the way, people fucking rose Twitter assholes. They don't know how the government works. They have no idea. None. And people are like, retweet, bro. That was a genius point. No.
And meanwhile, not only are they yelling at Biden for this instead of pointing the blame at SCOTUS, why aren't they yelling at their state legislators? Because last I checked, America did pass money down for this. Part of the CARES Act was getting money.
Bingo.
To people that were renting property. In fact, enough money that it would cover the current rental debt in the nation twice over. And yet only, I think at last reporting, 11% of those funds had been distributed by the states whose job it is to pass them out.
Right.
But it's Joe Biden's fault for waiting too long for the eviction moratorium.
Again, people don't know how the law works. People don't try to understand how the law works. People don't look up shit. Also, again, this idea that the SCOTUS doesn't have, like, power is crazy. Like, this is the power it holds. Hey, I have this idea to help all these people. Fuck them.
We literally saw it with mixed success during the Trump administration. Like, how much shit did SCOTUS that he threw up there knock down? Some of it they didn't. Somehow the Supreme Court decided that a Muslim ban was completely legal and fine when the Trump administration threw it up against all odds. But but yeah, like this is the result. This isn't even a law that was passed. This was a resolution that was passed. And they're just like, nope, bam, knock it down. And now 750,000 people might lose their homes around the country. And I'm shocked that the number isn't higher, to be quite frank.
Well, okay, here's the thing. The number is higher. I'll prove it to you. 750,000 people are behind rent. Well, 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 let's see. Of those people, all of those people owe landlords. Mm-hmm. And there's now a domino effect. Well, landlords don't have any money, so they're going to lose a bunch of tenants. And they're going to have no way of getting their money back. And guess what? Those people are going to lose their houses too. Right? I know the new cool thing on the left is that landlords are evil people. But they're not all evil people, dude, just because they didn't fix your toilet fast enough. Like, they invest money in properties. And look, there are plenty of landlords who are probably dickbags, I'm sure. But there are also people who that's their legitimate business. Owning property isn't a business. Sounds like a person who's never owned a house.
Kind of is.
Yeah, kind of is. You know, like I always read that and people are like, fuck landlords. I'm like, have you ever owned a house?
Yeah, but I say, less you're advocating for the state to seize all property and we just rent it from them. Like, I don't see how you're going to get around the fact that people own property. Sorry.
Right. Not only do you like people own property and want to rent it, people can't always afford houses. And so they have to have another option. You can't just have people be homeless.
No, Jay, houses should just be $20,000 a piece. That's all that should be. That's the logical solution to this problem.
I asked the guy that. Like, the guy was like, yo, fuck landlords. And I was like, so what's your solution then exactly? By the way, that's my favorite thing to do, is to ask someone a question and say, like, and give me like a concrete answer, not a bullshit like narrative answer. Like, give me an actual answer. And he was just like, he just deleted his comment. I'm like, because you hadn't thought about it. You were just like regurgitating nonsense. Like, you can't just be like, hey, no one should be able to rent their property. Okay, then where are people supposed to fucking live? You know how many people live in apartments in this country? That's insane. Well, fuck them. Fuck poor people? Like, what is your argument here? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Stop just saying dumb shit on fucking social media. Like, think about it. Just for a second. Just for 1 second. So no, I think you're going to see a domino effect of people who own properties losing, like losing their houses and shit like that, because they can't pay their mortgages, right? Which is why they were, that's why people were screaming like, can we do something about a moratorium or something, government assistance? Because, yeah. And I'm sure landlords weren't like, fuck them. They're like, yo, I got bills too, right? So it is, this is a, this is a domino system. You can't just start knocking people down.
Which then drags the economy as a whole because those people have less money to spend and then places can't hire workers as much and
bingo.
Round and round it goes. Like it's not, yeah.
So, yeah.
SCOTUS doesn't matter though, Jay. SCOTUS does not matter. It is not important.
I cannot believe people pay nine dudes in black coats just chilling. I cannot believe that people pay that woman $30,000 a month to tell them shit that will just hurt them in society.
Look, we'll pay $20,000 a month.
To tell you the truth. Wake up. I'll take 10. $10,000 a month is a lot of money.
Well, it would be 10 each, and then we'd give like $100 to Andy for his one like guest appearance a month that he does.
No. $50. $50.
That's right. He can afford it. Cost of living is a lot cheaper.
Yeah, where he is. We're living on high on the hog over here. We need the 10 grand a month. Absolutely. I don't understand. I just don't understand listening to people who will tell you things that make you feel good, but they're not things that are honest. They're not honest. Oh, is Joe Biden's fault about the moratorium? No, it's not. Like, no, it's not. Look at the fuck. No, it isn't. Hey, here's a moratorium, so make sure people can stay in their houses. SCOTUS is like, suck my dick. That Joe, that's your fault. Hey, there's a giant war in Afghanistan that we've been in for 20 years. I'm going to leave it. Fuck you, Joe. You're the asshole. What did I do? I'm trying to fix everything. Now, I'm not doing a perfect job, but goddamn, why is it my fault? What did I do? Yeah, you ruined the system that we fucked up for all these years. So, yeah, 750,000 households face eviction. By the way, 750,000 households. Not 750,000 people. 750,000 households. Insane. Ron DeSantis is an idiot.
Evergreen tweet.
Yeah, like, just thought I'd point it out. But yeah, when asked about the school mandate, wait, is this actually accurate? What is going on? Like, oh, this clip doesn't seem to be working properly. Or is it later? Oh, okay, here we go. Hold on. When asked about the numbers in the great state of Florida, Ron DeSantis had a really super interesting thing to say about all this.
So I think as the whole back to school stuff and some of that testing goes, I think you'll start to see, I actually think it's going down in the school age kids. I just think that they're testing so much that the numbers are being held, but the percent positive I do think is going down.
No, you can't say that the numbers are going down and they would be going down further if they didn't test. Yeah, you're echoing Trump. Like, that's exactly what Trump said.
Literally what he said. If we do less tests, then there won't be as many positive tests. No shit. No shit.
Hey, man, if you have a bunch of venereal diseases, if you don't test for it, you don't have them.
He tried to turn it around at the end there and mentioned the percentage of positive tests going down, which is the real fucking problematic number at the end of the day. Like the actual raw number is bad, but it's the percent of tests that you're doing that are positive are also pretty bad at the same time. But yes, test less so that we can do the – so look at that. A year later and we're back to the like, I can't hear or see anything. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And this
about.
Is the guy people think should be president.
I mean, he sounds very Trump-like. He can't talk, like, number one. Like,
he's an idiot.
Like he sounds like a moron.
Yes. I mean, in fairness, he is.
And again, like he's the type of guy that you sit there and you look at him. And look, since the election happened, Andrew Gillum has definitely had his share of problems that he's had to address. But just from a...
I'd still take him. Even now. Even now.
Well, I mean, just go back and look at those debates. Like just at like looking at them side by side. Like one guy is an intelligent, you know, fucking coherent person, and then the other guy is this fucking mashed potato headed looking motherfucker.
Yep.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, it turns out the other dude was out there having gay meth parties, but like,
I mean, whatever. Look, to each his own. To each his own. He figured, I'm not governor.
I mean, look, here's the thing. Have some fun. That dude was out there cheating on his wife at meth parties, just banging away, and he was still smarter than Ron DeSantis on meth. On meth. Who's doing meth? My God. Yeah. So, yeah, like this idea, like we're not going to – we need to do less testing so that we – our numbers are low, but kids are still getting infected. People are still getting infected.
Meanwhile, he's still trying to push to not allow for mask mandates, and all of the fucking mayors in the major cities in Florida are like, what the fuck are you doing, you moron? Like, don't be a fucking idiot.
Just like, he didn't have to say anything. Hey, we're going to do mask mandates in all these schools in Miami-Dade. Okay. You just don't get involved. Just don't get involved.
But like, he has to because
he believes
starting,
it.
He's starting to run for president is the other thing.
Hey, look, that's cool. They're going to hang that shitty response to COVID around your neck like a son of a bitch. They are, yo. Even other Republicans will. They will. God,
even they will. Like, even his suits are like Trump cut. Like, look at this suit jacket Trump in this cut. Clip. Look at it.
I know. This is just a billowing suit. Go visit
a tailor. Jesus Christ. Like, Joseph Van Bank will do it for you. God damn.
Nah, you gotta have room, right? When you're doing your like bullshit hand gestures. Like, you gotta have plenty of room in the
fucking bring the gutter. Middle in, man. Like, it's
yeah, look, there's no reason not to have a tailored suit.
You look like a 12-year-old wearing a suit tailored for like a 16-year-old boy, basically. That's what he looks like.
No, he's wearing his dad's suit. He's wearing his dad's suit. Like, yes. It's like professional day. Like, my dad is a governor. I'm gonna dress like him. Like, no, he's a buffoon. But there was an interesting statistic that Brad and I heard that just came out, and we were listening to it right before the show, and it was talking about the amount of people who have died in the last few months since what was it, June, I think. Mm-hmm. Basically, since Delta started, per 100,000 people, right? In states that Joe Biden won basically like 60%+, the highest it got was seven people dying per 100,000.
Oh, it wasn't even that high.
Oh, no, that was starting in the Trump states, right? It was just over five, right? Like five people per 100,000 people in the Biden states that have died since June. In the Trump states, on the highest end, it's 15 people per 100,000. On the lowest end, on the highest end of the Biden states, it's five. So three times as many people are dying at the same rate or at the same time frame in Trump states right now, three times as many people. That's nuts. Also, yeah. Look, man, if you think that's not going to have impact on 2022, you're wrong. You're wrong. Like, we got a long time before we get there. By the way, they just released CDC just released a statement that they're tracking another variant called Mew. Mew too. an actual Pokemon. That is more resistant to vaccines.
Of course. Because it's not going to stop. Because science doesn't care. Science doesn't care what fucking president you voted for.
So what happens if that one's more communicable, but like you can get it, but you don't die if you have the vaccine, right? Because my guess, from my understanding, it's like the transmission is higher. Like, the vaccine doesn't stop the transmission, right? Like, so it's even more transmissible than Delta. That doesn't mean it's more deadly, right? My guess is it's as deadly as Delta, probably not less deadly.
I got to tell you, I'm not enjoying this stuff from liberals, like this fucking like like finger wagging at people that are like not properly sad, I guess, at all these people who are reaping what they've sown by being morons, by not getting vaccinated, by being very reckless with how they're treating public health, and then paying the consequence for it. Don't you dare step on my schadenfreude. Like I'm gonna feel bad for I'm gonna feel bad for the people that had no choice, like for the kids and for the people that were forced to be around unvaccinated people. I'm not gonna feel bad for the people that are running out in the middle of traffic with their eyes closed and then they get fucking railed by a bus. Sorry. Like if you're gonna be a right wing radio host and go on and talk about fucking COVID, one of the best tweets I saw, by the way, you'll appreciate this, is that we had no idea how influential Rush Limbaugh was to all these right wing media hosts because he died and now all these other people
are holding his lead. If you are on the right, don't go on any public thing saying like COVID is bullshit. Like don't do that. Like that's a bad idea. COVID's like, I'm sorry, what? What'd you say? All right, I'm coming to your house. Don't worry about it. I'll be over tonight.
The Candyman of diseases.
Yeah, dude. Like, don't say COVID five times.
You've spoken it into existence.
Yeah, it's like,
don't,
yo.
Don't say it into a microphone five times in a row or it will show up and murder you.
it is. Again, COVID has a sense of irony, man. It will fuck you up. I saw Busta Rhymes is like, yo, fuck mask. Don't wear a mask. I'm like, you saying it into a microphone mad loud. Yo, shut up. So I like Busta Rhymes' music, man. Like, I don't want to have to see that black and white image of like his birth date and death date. Like, famed rapper Busta Rhymes, he ain't make it. Like, don't do that. Like, don't do it, man. It's stupid. But no, I don't feel bad. I don't care. My sympathy is on E. You have an opportunity to take something to protect yourself. Now, for free, right? There's no, yes. Like, look, man, I know people got 50,000 excuses about why they're not taking it. And I'm not trying to hear that shit. Like Baltimore, in Baltimore City, and we are not a rich city at all. We are very poor and we got a lot of problems. They will come to your house and give you the vaccine. Quite literally. There is a setup that they will come. You tell us the time. We will show up. We will inject you in that shit. Sit there with you. Make sure you're good. And then we'll go home. Like, you don't have an excuse. People are like, well, you know, some people are working a lot. Nah, yo, stop it.
Every fucking job in this country pays you to go do it. Every single one. Right. There's not a one that doesn't.
Even if your job doesn't. Let's say you got like, hey, man, I'm at McDonald's, whatever. Like, they're not trying to pay. All right, let's say they're not trying to pay. You can't go on your off day? You work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? Man, that's a lot.
I scheduled my shit on purpose during work hours. I was getting paid that fucking right, 2 hours each time for free. Come on. What are you doing?
So, like, no, that's bullshit. It's bullshit. There, unless you have, you know, like immunocompromised or some other sort of health issue where you cannot have it, there is zero excuse for not taking it. Zero, zero, zero excuse. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. I had mentioned the Tuskegee experiments and you were saying that you thought that whole thing, you thought that some people were injected with syphilis. No, no, Brad. They were in fact all had it through, you know, whatever means. And they were just denied the fucking cure once penicillin was around. That's it. So don't yell Tuskegee. That whole experiment was about not giving them the injection instead pretending like that they couldn't have it because it would kill them, right? This is readily available. It's readily available. You can go and get it. Stop being an asshole. The next one, I hope it doesn't break the vaccine. I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't. But guess what? If you keep fucking around, one will. And then what do you do? You think, like, this is the thing. Delta is really scary. It's scary as shit. I've got a wife who is on the front lines of that shit because she works in a school, right? She has to deal with all these people. They got to keep all this shit together and dealing with kids who are unvaccinated and all this other stuff. Where she works in Baltimore City Schools. Did you know Baltimore City is the only school district in all of Maryland that is actually testing kids? Baltimore County isn't.
Yeah, no, I can tell you the county's not. So
none of them. My wife's school test, they do pool testing every single week. Nowhere else in Maryland does. What do you think's happening in fucking Florida? What do you think's happening in Texas? Oh, right?
Fucking nothing.
Right. This moron's like, hey, we need to do less testing. What do you think's gonna happen? What do you think happens if this, you know,
it's already happening.
Right. Like, no, but
like the whole thing is that like a quarter of the cases that are in Florida are kids right now.
Yeah.
People that can't get the vaccine.
Right. But no, what happens if this Mu thing happens? That variant takes over and it's deadlier towards kids, right? Because like Delta is deadly towards kids, right? But let's say it's hard focused and it's like, this will kill fucking kids.
Well,
and it breaks the vaccine. They get vaccinated and then like, oops, sorry, bro. Back at school, like you're gonna have to bring kids home.
Here's the other problem too, is that I don't think that people have truly reckoned with the fact, even people that take this shit seriously have reckoned with the fact that it is very likely that COVID is just now going to become another flu that you have to get a vaccine for every year to fight off whatever strain is out there, because we didn't do what needed to be done as a global society up front,
right?
We couldn't squash it in the ground. So now it's just going to exist as the flu vaccine. And people don't realize that that is going to be part of their lives. So if you're not willing to even take that initial step, and there are plenty of people out there who don't get the flu vaccine either.
Right.
But if you're not willing to take that initial step.
I didn't for years.
Sure, because you were an able-bodied, you know, person.
But this is a different one.
And then you got the flu 1 year and it knocked you on your fucking ass. And you're like, man, I'd really rather not do that again. So let me just go get the fucking flu vaccine.
Right.
Like it's not, it's, we've seen this before. But yeah, people need to reckon with that now. Like mask wearing, I really hope just becomes a normal part of American life. Not like all the time, but like when you're not feeling well, wear a mask like they do in Asia. And that's why they keep the lid on a lot of this shit, because it's just a part of the culture over there that if you're feeling under the weather, you wear a mask out in public. You don't just fucking suck it up and cough on all your associates at work so that you spread that shit around the fucking office.
Like a real American.
Yeah, like you take care of other people.
And this country, good luck. But I can tell you this. My wife was like, I don't think that's true. I should go back and ask her. I was like, I bet you in blue states, you will see people wearing masks during like flu season. I guarantee you will.
I will have one in my bag.
That is what I said, dude. If I got to go somewhere crowded, nope, putting it on. Fuck that. You judge me all you want. I'll be the one not sick. I'll be the one not shitting my asshole out after eating dewormer. Okay.
Because speaking of which,
that's a perfect transition.
This week in stupid.
All right, Mr. Heel Hooks himself, Joe Rogan.
You're right. This picture does look
deranged. He looks deranged. The face you give after like 5 ounces of or like 5 shots of ivermectin. Joe Rogan, a podcasting.
We're about to find out. So.
We're about to, how much more? 147. All right. Let's get mean, Brad. Joe Rogan, a podcasting giant who has been dismissive of vaccinations, has COVID. Really shocking news. So Joe Rogan is like, look, man, I don't, I'm sorry. Hold on. There's video. What do I not want to hear this? Absolutely. Here we go.
Hello, friends. So I got back from the road Saturday night feeling very weary. I had a headache and I just felt just run down. And just to be cautious, I separated from my family, slept in a different part of the house. And throughout the night, I got fevers and sweats and I knew what was going on. So I got up in the morning, got tested. And turns out I got COVID. So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it. All kinds of meds. Monoclonal antibodies. Ivermectin. Z-Pak. Prednisone. Everything. And I also got an NAD drip and a vitamin drip. And I did that 3 days.
Sorry. Fuck. Anyway. Yeah, look.
First of all, in general, when it comes to medicine, throwing the proverbial kitchen sink at an illness that you get and throwing multiple medications at one illness at a time that aren't designed to work in conjunction with one another.
You don't know that.
Not a great idea.
You don't know
just
that.
Saying.
You don't know anything, Brad. You don't know anything. I mean, the accuracy, right? The accuracy of just taking a handful of darts and just throwing it at a wall. I mean, one's got to hit the wall. So that means something, right? Like, you won't take a vaccine, but you'll take the steroid they give people with cancer, prednisone, that they gave to my dog because he has neurological issues when he was alive. Like, prednisone is a powerful fucking steroid. It will put some pounds on your ass super quick. Okay. quite literally, like, it will make you gain a ton of weight. You're taking prednisone. You're taking a Z-Pack. You're taking ivermectin. I assume not the horse dosage, because Joe Rogan is rich enough that he could just get a doctor to prescribe him human ivermectin, which is fine.
I want to think that he has the tub of the ivermectin paste and he's just like taking handfuls out of it and just like slathering it all over rubbing it all over his head.
Nay! not only that, but you're also taking the monoclonal antibodies. Why are you taking that? That's also pretty experimental.
One might say more experimental.
Definitely.
Than the actual vaccine, which has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
I don't want to take the vaccine, but I'll take monoclonal antibodies. Why? Why?
So we were discussing this before the show. Now of course,
moron?
Of course, because God doesn't exist, or at least a just God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist because that's the way things are. Nothing will happen to Joe Rogan. Like, he has access to better medical care than 99.9% of the people.
Yeah, you guys giving him all your money every month.
Yeah, he'll be fine. However, I feel like that's very unfortunate, because if Joe Rogan does come through this fine, then he's going to get on his fucking podcast and he's going to tell all the bro dogs that listen to him, this shit's legit. It saved my life. Like go eat your horse medicine or whatever the fuck it is that you're out there doing. It is in the public good. It is for the good of public health that Joe Rogan gets fucking clobbered by COVID-19.
Yeah, I need Joe Rogan to like miss episodes. Like several. Right? Like
I need him to go to a hospital and be intubated. Seriously. For the public good, Jay, for the public good.
this feels more like for the Brad good.
No. This is for public health, because then if he survives, then he can go on his show and tell all the morons that listen to the Joe Rogan show how serious they should be taking coronavirus because he almost died from it. And then maybe he can use his sway. Though apparently his sway is not as big as it used to be, according to some data that people have run up through since he switched to Spotify.
Yep.
Uniquely. But maybe a lot of these people who are hesitant to take the vaccine because they listen to Joe Rogan and take his word as gospel might then be less hesitant, which would not be an insignificant amount of people.
Okay. Allow me
it's
to disappoint.
For the public good, Jay. It's for the public good.
That
good.
Joe Rogan must endure pain for all of us.
Much like Christ, he must suffer.
he must suffer for all of our sins.
So that we may live. So.
That's fair. Joe Rogan is pretty much like Jesus. That's true.
He is like Jesus to a lot of people.
So. That is scary true. God, that is terrifying. There's got to be a picture of Joe Rogan dressed as Jesus. There has to be. So I'm gonna disappoint you a little bit here. Joe Rogan doesn't have any influence, and it's not just any major influence as much as we'd like to think. And it's not because of him being on Spotify. Joe Rogan said that he was going to vote for Bernie, and Bernie got that ass beat, and it didn't make a goddamn bit of difference. He ain't bring the bro dogs along. The bro dogs didn't go for Bernie. Like, bro, like if Joe Rogan's whole business is like, hey, if you're feeling bad or you don't feel so great, why don't you eat like deer meat that you hunted down yourself because you're a real man, right? Like,
oh, well, he doesn't sell the deer meat, does he?
No. He's far too rich.
Okay,
so he's not
Alex Jones.
No. So he just talks about going hunting and getting back to nature or whatever fucking horse shit. Like, dude, you're a fucking multimillionaire. Shut up.
Like, you live in New York.
Like, yeah, well, yeah. Occasionally they go up to like Staten Island. I don't know.
the Catskills?
Probably, right? So look, I just I'm not buying it. I'm thinking nothing serious is going to happen to him. Though one could make the argument that COVID doesn't like being talked about like it's some kind of bitch. So stay tuned. Look, he's talking a lot of shit. Again, talking a lot of shit on a microphone. Don't do that. That's not what you want. So look, he's unvaccinated. He's throwing the kitchen sink at it. None of those things are, I mean, the monoclonal antibodies are his best chance of fucking beating us. Because prednisone, ivermectin, Z-Pak, what, I don't know what about this vitamin drip or the NAD. I don't even know what that is. But from my understanding, the monoclonal antibodies, when you are very early in your diagnosis, is your best bet, right? Because like a vaccine isn't going to necessarily fix it if it's already in your system. Like, you're in a world of fucking trouble. But if the monoclonal antibodies don't work, you might be pretty fucked. And look, he don't even have to be fucked that like he dies. He just needs to be fucked that like he's so winded that he can't do his show. Right? Like, he could end up sounding like Diane Reeves.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be something if he had, like, long COVID and just couldn't fucking...
Yeah, can you imagine if he started sounding like Diane Reeves? It'd ruin his career. And I'm not... By the way, that's not making fun of Diane Reeves. I love Diane Reeves, right? Like, if you know who she is from, like, NPR. Like, she has that, like, exasperated voice thing. It's, like, it's just a... Some people develop it. Like, my... Actually, a friend of ours developed it, right? So it's possible like he could have something like that gets triggered like that. You never know. So like,
well, and that's the other thing that people are not also factoring in as much. Like, they're like, oh, well, if I get it, it's like getting the flu and it sucks for like a weekend, but then I'm fine. But like, no, like there's so many people that are just having to live with like long-term effects from this.
Yeah. It's not a joke.
Like we don't know. This has only been around for a year and a half. Like, we haven't gotten to see the true long-term ramifications of this. I mean, there are people who are like healthy athletes that got it, that have said that like fucking, I remember, who's his face, for the, that plays for the Jazz, Rudy Gobert, who was one of the people that didn't take the shit seriously at the very beginning, like fucking touching everyone's microphone.
Oh yeah.
And then he got it. And then after like this past season, like he was like, yeah, he's like, I still feel effects from when I had it back in April. Like he definitely takes that shit seriously now. Cause he fucked around and he found out.
Yeah. And people were really pissing him.
Yeah.
Like, dude,
what are you rightfully so. Rightfully so.
You endangered a whole lot of people with that shit. It's not a game. So, look, you can think it's a game if you want to. And again, talking a lot of shit on a mic, dude. COVID doesn't like that. So, I look forward to finding out whether Joe Rogan gets intubated. Like, I do. I'm kind of like,
again, kinda funny. I think he owes it to the country to do it.
That sure would make up for all the Ben Shapiro shit, right? Like,
No. Because not just Ben Shapiro. Like, I'm sure, like, fucking, like, Jordan Peterson, I know, has been on his show.
Oh,
I'm
pretty sure
Charlie Kirk has been on his show. And Dave Rubin and fucking...
Well, in fairness, Dave Rubin is just asking questions. Like, what's Dave Rubin's thing? It's a marketplace of ideas. It's a marketplace of ideas. Yeah, that's literally what the Nazi said, dude. Like, it's quite literally the marketplace of ideas is a Nazi fucking statement. How do you say that out loud and like, don't know? Like, everyone keeps making fun of you. Like, I should probably Google that, right? Like, why do they keep giving my statement a hard time? Yeah, it's because you're repeating something the fucking Nazis used. You useless prick. He's another one. I fucking can't stand that guy. He sucks. So yeah, Joe Rogan getting COVID is wonderful. I don't care. Look, I haven't said it yet. I'll say it right now as we're about to end the show. If Joe Rogan dies, I'm fine with it. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Give me his money. I won't have on a bunch of right-wing assholes. I guarantee you.
Maybe we should just to fucking dunk on them constantly.
Oh, you know what? That would actually be fun. I'd be like, first guess, yeah. Ben Shapiro. So you're 4'11"? Is that it? Wow, amazing. Amazing. Can you get this out of my hand as I hold it above you? Because it would be on video. Like, you got to go video on that.
Well, I mean, with Joe Rogan money, we could build like a whole studio.
Yeah, he's like, his is like inside of like a plane or whatever the fuck is going on now. I don't even know. I saw a video. It's like, it's kind of a cool studio, but like, what the fuck is going on? It's just weird. But yeah, he's got big money now. So they pay him $400 million or something insane like that.
It was something stupid. I don't know if they're getting the return on investment though, but we'll see.
I mean, they're about to find out.
That's true.
Ain't enough Z packs in the world to make that shit work. Oh, I don't feel so good. Good. Now cry about it, you asshole. Oh, I hope it's miserable for him. I truly do. I hope it's, if nothing else, I hope he's fucking miserable. I hope he's absolutely miserable. That would be wonderful for me. I need that. All right. I think that's it for us. Brad, any other podcasters you'd wish ill will on?
You mean besides Andy? No, I would wish ill on Andy. Be terrible.
I would. Fuck that guy. Look, again, if Joe Rogan dies, man, that's a headline. If Joe Rogan gets intubated, that's a major headline. Holy shit. Bad guy. Oh, man. That's
grease it
sad.
Up. Grease up the tube with the horse face. Just make sure it, just to make sure that it's really helping the lungs attack the disease.
I can't believe he's taking fucking ivermectin. What a fucking
way. Can't you believe it, Jay?
Yeah. You
can't
know what? You I'm believe it. You know what? I'm the idiot. You're right. You're 100% correct there. So, yeah, we shall see. We shall see what happens to old Joey. All right. I think that's it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode.
Bye.